Happy New Year. That sounded like half of you were ready for this. Okay. Happy New Year. Okay, we're good. All right, are we live? Are we good? Y'all are all back there going, yeah, okay. Yeah, we're live, Grant. We've been live for 5 minutes. Okay. Well, welcome. We're glad you're here to the first service of 2021. 2020 is over. And so we are thankful for that, and glad that you're joining us here, glad that you're joining us online as well. I do want to take care of a little bit of business from 2020. Now, we tackled December, and we really wanted to raise $8,000 above our normal giving, where half of that was going to our international missionaries, and then the other half was going locally to the two schools that we partner with and their food pantries, as well as the COVID relief fund. And we had a goal of $8,000, and so that was a great start. And so are you guys ready to see what God did? You ready? That's pretty good. Man, that's just fantastic. That is a great way to kick off this year. And thank you. Thank you for being, I know you guys get tired of me saying this, but it's so true. Thank you for being generous with God's money. I mean, that's just what it comes down to. This is going to allow us to bless the socks off of our two international missionaries, families that are serving in hard-to-reach places and security risk places. We can't even tell you where they are because there's just some security things, But man, we're going to get to bless each of those families with a significant donation to them to take care of some medical bills, and with the food pantries of these schools getting hit so hard during this Christmas season that they had already started calling and saying, hey, is there any way we can help? And we were like, oh, yeah, we can help. We've got some help coming. And so we've already been able to restock both of those food pantries at Sheldon Pine Ridge for Head Start School, as well as Hope Street Academy. And so, man, just incredible stuff. We are going to start the new year with a different kind of service. Last month, Tim Hughes, who is the pastor at Grace Point Church here in town, he invited me to take a kind of a one-day retreat with him. So we met up in Manhattan, Kansas, and went there to a church, and we walked into the sanctuary, and of course they had this all spread out. There's about 10 or 11 of us, and what happened next was just, it was just kind of surreal, and it just, it ended up being like the highlight, one of those oasis highlights for me for the whole year. And I wasn't walking in expecting it, right? I mean, I was walking in, it's going to be a one-day retreat. That means I'm going to get home late. That means I'm going to be a day behind in all my message prep. There's going to be, you know, I mean, I'm just already ticking off all the ways that this was going to be just a no-good, rotten day. And we get in the room, and the guy asked us, when was the last time that someone allowed you to worship? Of course, we're all pastors. And of course, we're like, oh, we worship all the time. We're in a constant state of prayer, right? But the reality was, when was the last time that we kind of turned everything off and we weren't a pastor, we weren't a leader, we weren't trying to pull off a service, we weren't trying to do something, but we just sat in the presence of God and allowed him to speak to our souls. And the room got about as quiet as this room is right now. And he played a couple of songs over us. They were new to us at the time. And he said, I'm doing this on purpose so that you don't get distracted by trying to sing songs that are familiar. He says, because I really just want you to sit and be completely open to just listening to the Spirit of God. So I wanted us to have the same kind of experience this morning to kick off 2021. And we're going to turn the lights down a little bit, and Cullen and Jessa are going to sing two songs for us, and they're probably new to some of you. They may not be. I've put the words and the lyrics in the seats there next to you if you wanted to kind of meditate on those things. We're not going to ask you to stand and sing. We're not going to ask you to do that. What we are going to ask you to do is that you get centered. You allow the Spirit of God, just for the next two songs, just to speak to you. And for some of you, that may mean just sitting there and just kind of soaking it all in. For others of you, you may want to kneel and you may want to raise your hand. You may want to sing. You may want to worship. That's fine. You've got the freedom to do those things. But my nudge to you is this, is that take one of these first steps of the new year into an uncomfortable space and get centered. And allow God to speak to you just for a few moments and just listen to him. And this time is not so much about singing as it is about connecting with a father who is just as excited to walk with you through a new year as you are to walk through a new year. So if we're ready to do that, I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to start this experiment of 2021. Father, we are going to do something different for us. And I know that there's a little bit of uncomfortableness whenever we try to do something new. So I want to pray for some peace. I want to pray for just a couple of moments to just kind of take a deep breath and to sigh. And all of the stuff that we brought into this room with us, anger, anxiety, questions, all of those things that could distract us. And maybe there are even some good things. Would you push those out? Would you remove that clutter from us for a few moments? And would you be in this space with us? Would you give each of us a moment? Would you give each of us kind of a nugget this morning to where you punch through all of that distraction and you remind us that you are here? I pray that you would minister to some souls in this room this morning. Because even though this is a brand new year, just because the calendar reads a different date, some of us are still carrying some of the same hurt, some of the same crisis. We're still dealing with the same stuff that we dealt with in 2020. And even though the date's different, it doesn't feel different. So would you meet us in this space? It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Oh, how high would I climb mountains if mountains were where you hide? Oh, how far I'd scale the valleys if you grace the other side. Oh, how long have I chased rivers from lowly seas to where they rise? Against the rush of grace descending from the source of its supply. 'Cause in the highlands and the heartache, you're neither more or less inclined. I would search and stop at nothing. You're just not that hard to find. I will praise you on the mountain. I will praise you when the mountain's in my way. You're the summit where my feet are. So I'll praise you in the valleys all the same. No less God within the shadows. No less faithful when the night leads me astray. You're the heaven where my heart is. In the highlands and the heartache all the same. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, how far beneath your glory does your kindness extend the path from where your feet rest on the sunrise to where you sweep the sinners past? And oh, how fast would you come running if just a shadow me through the night? Trace my steps through all my failures and walk me out the other side. For who could dare ascend that mountain, that valleyed hill called Calvary? But for the one I call Good Shepherd, who like a lamb was slain for me. I will praise you on the mountain. I will praise you in the mountains in my way. You're the summit where my feet are. So I'll praise you in the valleys all the same. No less God within the shadows. No less faithful when the night leads me astray. You're the heaven where my heart is. In the highlands and the heartache all the same. Oh, whatever I walk through, wherever I am, your name can move mountains wherever I stand. If ever I walk through the valley of death, I'll sing through the shadows my song of ascent. Whatever I walk through, wherever I am, your name can move mountains wherever I stand. If ever I walk through the valley of death, I'll sing through the shadows my song of ascent, my song of ascent. Oh, oh, my song of ascent. Oh, of all valleys come the pastures we call grace. A mighty river flowing upwards from a deep but empty grave. I will praise you on the mountain. I will praise you in the mountains in my way. You're the summit where my feet are. So I'll praise you in the valleys all the same. No less God within the shadows. No less faithful when the night leads me astray. You're the heaven where my heart is. In the highlands and the heartache all the same. God, thank you for that truth, that you're faithful through the lows and the highs. Thank you for how that truth has impacted us this past year, 2020, and how it will impact us moving forward. We just lift your name in praise for that.
Thank you. Father, we again thank you that with a simple surrender to you, that you change everything. I just ask that as we dig into your word, as we kick off this new series, that we would do that. We would make room, that you would have your way in our life, whatever that may look like for us, and that we would have hearts open and willing to follow you into that. We just ask that you bless the rest of this time together as we hear your word, and as we sing more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So how was that? Was that a little different? A little different, isn't it? How many of you would say, man, that just kind of, okay, a little bit more prepared to tackle maybe what's coming? Okay, for the rest of you, here we go. We're going to come back and we're going to do those two songs here in a few moments. But as we start this new year, I'm struck by a couple of thoughts. The first one is nobody's going to miss 2020, right? I mean, I'm not speaking out of turn, right? I mean, nobody's really sad that year's over, right? I mean, okay, good. So that's good, but I don't want to be negative Nancy. I don't want to be a half glass empty kind of guy, but I do want to point out just two minor issues that might come up as we start a new year, okay? And since we're friends and we could talk honestly with one another, I'm just going to lay it out there and we'll just see where it goes this morning. Here's the deal. Here's problem number one. There's no guarantee that 2021 is going to be better, okay? Now, if that's a shock to you this morning, just hang in there for a little bit, okay? We're going to get some tools to deal with this, but we got to lay the groundwork of some just reality. There's no promises, there's no guarantees that 2021 is going to be better, okay? That's problem number one. Here's problem number two, is that some of you are going to carry 2020 with you through 2021. Now, one of the most awkward dates that I've ever been on was with... That didn't come out right. No, that's not what I meant. What I meant was is that Amy and I were double dating with one of my fraternity brothers. The awkwardness was not with Amy. The awkwardness was we went out with this guy, and we went out as a favor because he had just come out of a bad relationship, and now he was starting a new relationship. And guess what he talked about the whole night? Oh, yeah, it was not good. It was one of those things where it's like, you know, you're with like there's three of us on this date. You know, there's like three other people, right? Spent the whole time talking about the last relationship. And you know, there's just, I don't know if you've ever encountered that kind of person before. And it's not just about the last relationship, but it's just always about what's wrong, right? It's like, every time you talk with them, it's something's wrong, something's traumatic, and then the next time you talk with them, it's the same thing that's wrong, something's traumatic, and then the next time you talk with them, it's the same thing that's wrong, and something traumatic, and then you like run away, you run to the hills, and then you run into them 6, 7, 8, 9 months later, and guess what the conversation is? It's the same conversation that you had. So I'm the only person, like I'm the only one that draws these people to, and maybe some of you couldn't raise your hand because you're sitting next to that person. I don't know. Maybe that's where you're at. But I mean, sometimes we run into these people of like, they just carry that stuff with them. And it's like they're carrying around this body bag with them everywhere they go. And they can't see it. It's like they're the only person that can't understand that they're carrying around this body bag with them everywhere they go. And, you know, some of us are like, some of us avoid conflict like the plague, so we see this person and we're like, we're always busy, right? We're always like, I got to rearrange my sock drawer. You know, there's picture albums that I've got to scan in from 1988. I mean, it's like we'll find something ridiculous to do just to avoid these people. And so if we have these two things and we start to tackle 2021, 2021 may be absolutely no different than 2020. Now, the cool thing is that there's this little thing that's going around this time of year that helps combat these two problems, and they're called New Year's resolutions. How many of you have done a New Year's resolution already? Okay, we got three of us. Cool. How many of you are anti-New Year's resolution people? Okay, we know what kind of church we are. All right, yes, all right, yes. Now, I'm not a New Year's resolution guy, but I have a friend who has like the word of the year. Like he has a word, right? There's a word that does the whole year. And I'm not that succinct, so I kind of stole this idea from him about 3 or 4 years ago, and I had like a phrase. Then I always sit down with the staff at the beginning of the year, and I say, hey, man, let's talk about your phrases, right? We talk about this a lot. And like some of these phrases over the last couple of years has been, if it's not messy, it's not ministry. That's a good, like that was a good, we're not having that phrase again this year. It doesn't have to be perfect, and neither do I. That was a good one, right? That was a good one. I lead out of my walk with Jesus. That was right. That was so. These are some of the phrases that we've come up with as a staff over the year. And I was really thinking about this year. And typically, everyone kind of brings their own phrase to the table. But this year, I was like, man, I wonder if we need to have a phrase for us, like as a staff team. And then I thought, maybe we need us as a church, right? Maybe we need to circle the wagons as a church and go, man, we need a phrase to kind of circle the wagons and to refocus us for this year. And I'd really been wrestling with this over the last month or two, and I was preaching the message. I was doing the research for the message on December 27th for the Finding Christmas, and I stumbled across this phrase, be in the things of the Father. And this phrase has just been nibbling at me the last 3 or 4 weeks. I cannot get it out of my mind. It's like I'll say something or I'll read something, and this phrase will just pop in my head. And if you don't know the context of this, let me kind of throw the background of this story. In Luke chapter 2, it's the story of where Jesus is 12 years old, and Joseph and Mary make their annual trip to Jerusalem, okay? And it's a big family thing. It's Passover. And so typically the women would leave early and then the men would leave late. Joseph thought Jesus was with Mary because he's 12 and he's not yet a man. But Mary thought Jesus was with Joseph because he was 12 and he's kind of close to being a man. And so they get to the campsite that night and they both look at each other and go, where's Jesus? And they both go, oh my gosh, we left him up at the temple. I'm so glad that we've never done that in our family. And so so they rush back. It takes them a day travel to get there, day travel to get back. And then the third morning they go to the temple and they meet Jesus. And this is what happens. Mary comes up to Jesus and Joseph is kind of there. And Mary puts Jesus on full mom blast. Now, I don't know if you've ever had a full mom blast moment. I know that I have. It's not one I care to repeat, right? But mom is in full mom mode. And she says to Jesus, why have you done this to me? Totally understandable, right? Totally understandable. 3 days, can't find her boy. And then Jesus responds with this in Luke chapter 2, verse 49. He says, why were you searching, emphasis there, why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? And that's how most translations tackle that phrase. But that's not literally what it says. And when Jesus spoke in Aramaic, what Jesus literally said was this phrase, didn't you know I had to be in the things of my Father? Now, this was a colloquial phrase. This was a slang phrase. This is like Hamilton's, you got to be in the room when it happens, right? That's right. This is that phrase of you know, I had to be in the things of my Father. This would have been a phrase that a carpenter would have said, an apprentice carpenter would have said if learning to be a master carpenter. It was like, listen, I have to be in the things of a master carpenter, right? I've got to be in the things of that. As a matter of fact, I've got to be in the shop. I've got to be around the sawdust. I've got to be around the tools. I've got to learn how to work with the chisel. I've got to learn how to work with the saw. I've got to learn how to work with the plane. I've got to be in the things of a carpenter if I'm going to be a carpenter. If I'm going to be the Lamb of God, if I'm going to be the Messiah, if I'm going to be the Christ, then I have to be in the things of the Father. And it's a fascinating phrase, isn't it? To be in the things of the Father. And then a few verses later, something even more ridiculous happens. In Luke, in the verse 52, it says this. And then Jesus went back to live with Mary and Joseph, which I thought was a wise decision for a 12-year-old to make, right? I mean, it's a pretty good decision. And then Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. And I just want to, this word right here, right? That Jesus grew. Now, Jesus was fully God. He didn't grow into becoming God, okay? He was fully God in his character. He was sinless. in his essence of who he was 100% fully God. So he didn't grow into God. But he was also fully human, which meant at that stage in his life, he was a 12-year-old boy. He looked like a 12-year-old boy. He probably talked like a 12-year-old boy. He probably played in the dirt and got skint knees. He probably roughhoused with his brothers and sisters. You know, he was a 12-year-old boy. And part of the journey that God had for himself, using that phrase intentionally, was to fully experience the human condition. And part of that condition is to grow up, is to change, is to be transformed. So God puts himself in a position to be fully himself in his character, in his essence, but also fully human in the fact that he has to grow in wisdom, in maturity, in physical stature. He has to grow up. Now, why would God do this? I don't know if I've got a great answer as to why, but what I think it shows us is this. There is something germane, there is something core to the Christian experience that God wants us to have that is centered around this word right here, grow, transformation, change. And the way that you do that is you be in the things of the Father. You be in the things of the Father. You see, these two phrases are intimately connected. Jesus is saying to Joseph and Mary, man, remember the manger scene? Remember the shepherds? Remember the what? Remember all that stuff? Remember all the prophecies? I mean, you know who I am? Who I am growing to be? You had to know that I was going to have to be in the things of my Father. So let's go back to these two things real quick. If I learned one lesson this entire year, it was this. I am not in control. Maybe some of you need to repeat that lesson. Say it. I am not in control. I am not in control. Some of you, you are not in control. You're not in control. So as this new year comes upon us, you have no control as to what's coming down the pipe. It may get better. It may get worse. Things may change. Things may not change. But you, me, we have zero control over what's coming down the pipe. So that first problem, but the second one, now that I've got control over. That I've got control over. I have no control over what may happen to me, but I have complete control over what I am carrying with me on this journey. I have complete control over what things I am in the middle of, the things that I'm choosing to be in. So what will be different about 2021? In terms of our circumstances, could be nothing, could be everything, could be better, could be worse. But what could change, what should change, is whatever the things you choose to be in. What 2020 revealed about each of us, and as a country, and as a church, is that it revealed what we had put in our center. It revealed about what were the things, let me go back to this slide real quick, be in the things of, and then blank. 2020 revealed what that blank was in our life. So for some of us that said to be in the things of control, guess what 2020 did? Gotcha. For some of us, it was, right? I mean, we can go down the list, right? We watched it all year of all the things that people had put in that phrase. I'm going to be in the things of politics. I'm going to be in the things of controversy. I'm going to be in the things of protest. I'm going to be in the things of this, right? I'm going to be in the, whatever that thing is. What 2020 revealed is that whatever that thing is, that was our center, and that center crumbled. It completely caved in on itself. And it left us angry, hurt, confused, bitter. People were mad. They didn't even know why they were mad. And that's what 2020 did in us. That's what 2020 did in our churches, right? In the things of us revealed. But this is what we all want as Christ followers, right? This is a pretty famous verse. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. And the problem is, in 2020, all up until 2020, we chased after these things, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. These are the things that we wanted in our lives. And what had happened was 2020 then revealed that some of the things that we put in our life that we thought was bringing joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, didn't. And some of it was because we bought a lie. Some of it was because, well, let's face it, we were just lazy. We didn't want to do the work of having the Spirit work in our lives. Good night. That's like a lot of work. I got to give up some things with it. But here's my hunch, and this is kind of where I'm going to bring it back to center. I think one of the reasons why so few Christ followers experienced joy, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and goodness is because there are so few of us that know how to be in the things of the Father. Let me just, don't raise your hand to this question, okay? But at least answer it in your mind, okay? If I forced you to define what it means to be in the things of the Father, could you answer that question? And if you could, how much of that answer is reflected in how you live your life? Now, listen, I'm gonna be real with you. Up until 22, 23, 24 years old, what the heck does that mean, right? It's like if someone would have come up to me and asked me that question, I'd have looked at them like, I go to church. Does that answer the question? No. Going to church doesn't make me in the things of the Father any more than parking in a garage makes me a car, right? I mean, it's just, no. And then here I am many years later, and I'm a pastor, right? And I'm supposed to have this clean definition, right, of what it means to be in the things of the Father. Huh. Yeah, I could tell you some things, but the danger of me telling you some things is that immediately, and I do the same thing, I'll take those things and then it becomes a list, a checklist of things to do, not be in, right? Right? And so then all of a sudden I get really good at going to church, going to Bible studies, reading my Bible, and doing all of this activity, but it's not necessarily being in the things of the Father. And those of you that maybe have gone down the road a little bit with Jesus, and maybe you grew up in the church, you know exactly what I'm talking about, is that you have all of this religious activity, you have all of these things in your life that look like Jesus, that sound like Jesus, that maybe even sometimes feels like Jesus. But when the crunch comes, when that punch of life hits, when you have a year like you have in 2020, all of a sudden you look at your life and it's in shambles and you go, where's my faith? What was this all for? Was I really in the things of the Father, or was I just going through the motions? And maybe you don't have that experience, right? Maybe you're looking at me and you're like, man, we really need a new pastor who knows what he's talking about, right? Maybe that's you, right? Maybe you have no clue what I'm talking about. And if that is you, man, bless your heart. I'd love to have coffee with you and learn from you. But spirituality for the rest of us, like I guess normal people, I would say this. I would say, man, there's a component to where my activity doesn't always translate into being in the things of the Father. And over the last few years, I've really wanted, I didn't have this phrase, but I wanted more out of, I wanted more of my relationship with Jesus Christ. And I want to learn what it means to be in the things of the Father. I want to learn what it means to walk in the dust of Jesus. I want to learn what it means that every single decision, every single word, every single thought that comes into my brain, I have a conference with Jesus, and I go, okay, what do I do with this? How do I handle this? What do I say in this moment? Is this thought truth, or is this just me going off the, I mean, Jesus, right? I want to be in the things of the Father so that he can change who I am, that I start looking a lot more like Jesus looked like, and I start experiencing this fruit of the Spirit, not as things as I have to accomplish or things that I have to do, but things that's a result of my relationship with Jesus Christ. And if that's hard for you to grasp, I'm going to give you an illustration that may help or may not, but here it is. Amy and I have been married for 29 years. We had our 29th wedding anniversary this last week, all right? And we had 28 great years of marriage. Anyway, I remember when we were dating. We dated for 3 years. I was a little bit quicker on the trigger than Cullen. I wasn't going to let her wait 6 years because I was like, man, she's going to find somebody new and that's going to be over. So I was much faster on the jump than Cullen was with Jessa. And so I was like, man, oh, man, it's like every time I saw her, I got nervous, right? And then you get to year, 8, 9, 10, 11 of marriage, and you're like, huh? You want some coffee? Yeah, sure. Right? Okay, maybe some of you don't do that. Okay. But then I remember, year 11 and 12, and it was like, man, I want to have a marriage. I want to have a marriage that I love, that I enjoy, right? It's like, I don't want that. I want to be in the things of Amy, right? I want to be in the things of Amy. And I'm not saying this to shame anybody. I'm not saying this to make anybody. But the last 6-7 years of our marriage has probably been the best years of our marriage. And it's also been the hardest personally for us. And what we've had to go through in some of our family stuff. How does that happen? Because we purpose to be in the things of the other. We purpose to be in the things of the other. Amy kayaks with me. And I know it freaks her out. She's had her freak out moments in the middle of the water. She watched her babies go down the river. And, oh, my gosh, I'm never going to see them again. They're going to die. I hate you for this. Okay, we made it. We're so, right? I mean, why does she do that? Because she wants to be in the things of grace. Why do I watch 30,000 episodes of Castle? Why do I watch 30,000 episodes of detective shows? Because I want to be in the things of Amy. Right? Why am I working out with her? Because she likes to work. I mean, you see what I'm saying? It's like I'm doing some of those things, but now it's like, I want to do those things. I want to do those things because guess what? That's where I'm going to meet Amy. And I fundamentally believe that until you reach that point in your relationship with Jesus Christ, you are not going to grow. You're not. If Jesus is just this coat that you put on once a week to get warm, if he's just this weekly lunch appointment that you make just to make sure you check the box, you are never going to be in the things of the Father. You're never going to be transformed to be who God wants you to be. And you're never going to experience love, peace, joy, kindness, goodness, thankfulness, and self-control. You're never going to experience those. Never. And the turning of the page of a calendar from 2020 to 2021 will make absolutely no difference at all. Might as well just circle it back up and go through it again. And just drag that body bag of pain and hurt and missed expectations with you as you go through it. Just drag it with you. But if we could learn how to be in the things of the Father, that fundamentally would change everything. Whew. Great! How do we do that? Welcome to 2021 at Western Hills Church. We are going to learn this together this year. And there is no way I can tell you in a 30-minute message what that looks like. It would cheapen the experience. It would be like me trying to tell you about marriage in 30 seconds. Can't do it. But if you'll take a journey with us, if we will take a journey with each other, we will learn what it means to be in the things of the Father. And then let me just give you a couple of handles on this, on where we're going with this. This is framing on our next hire, right? We've been talking, we kind of put the pause on it for the holidays, but we've got room for another hire, and this is framing this hire. Can we get someone to help us understand and to live out what it means to be in the things of the Father? What does it mean to be in a community? We call them connect groups. But what does it mean to just not just be in a connect group, to be in a connect group, but to be in a group that is in the things of the Father? Personally, for those of us, being in a community group, just like, no, there's no way I'm showing up at somebody's house. People are weird. I'm not doing that. Blah, 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 blah. That's fine. That's fine. But wouldn't you love to have one or two other relationships in your life where every single time you got face to face with them, you were talking about not football, not basketball, not shopping or whatever it is, but you were actually trying to figure out what it means to live and be in the things of the Father. I mean, would you sign up for that? I would. I would want to learn what it meant to be in the things of the Father as a husband, as a dad, as a leader in my workplace, as a teammate, right? As a mom, as a sister, as a brother, as a wife. I don't necessarily want a group that I go to every week, but I would love to have that relationship. What does it look like to have relationships that are about being in the things of the Father? We got a lot to unpack. We have time to do it. And this is where I want us to go in 2021 as a church. So, like, are we not serving all? Are we not loving people? Are we not? No, 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 no. Those are going to be some of these pillars, right? We know some of these things. We know some of the things of what it means to be in the things of the Father. We just may have to tweak our understanding of it. We may have to change our perception of it. We may have to tweak some things as to what it looks like. But no, I want us to learn what it means to be in the things of the Father. Because you can't be in the things of the Father and not be a church that wants to bless the people around them. Because that's just who Jesus is. And if he's going to change us to look more like him, guess what? That's what it's going to look like. I had a buddy of mine holler at me this week, and he kind of sent me a text. It was a long text. He said, hey, man, you know what I'm beginning to realize? And I was like, oh, great. Here we go. He says, Moses didn't apply for the job to rescue a bunch of slaves and start a country. I was like, oh, okay. No idea where he's going with this. He says, David didn't show up at the battlefield that day planning to kill a giant and become the next king. Mary didn't ask God to be the mother of Jesus. And Joseph didn't ask God to raise his son. Is that it? Like, is that the extent of your insight? So maybe God's will isn't a task to do or a ladder to climb, but maybe instead it's a moment where I am obedient. It's a moment where we are in the things of the Father. And that mentality, that understanding, that's what I need in my life more. That's what I need to have grown in my heart more. I'm going to pray for us, and I'm going to have Cullen and Jessica come back up, and we're going to sing those same two songs. And this time, you've heard them. And this time, we're just gonna give you some freedom this morning. If you want to sing and join it, go right ahead. If you want to stand and worship, go right ahead. If you're a one-hand raiser, a two-hand raiser, or no hand raiser, or whatever. But this morning, we're going to sing some of the lyrics of Make Room for You. Your way is better, right? This is that first step of being in the things of the Father. And we're going to worship that way as we leave this morning. Father, first of all, I'm scared. I don't know what it means to consistently be in the things of the Father, but if I learned anything in 2020, I know this. Anywhere with you is better than anywhere else without you. Anywhere with you is better. And Father, I confess to you my need to be transformed, my need to grow, my need to change, to be more like you. And Father, I know that that's not something that I can do on my own strength, but it needs to be a place to where I am immersed by your things and your presence. So Father, as my offering, as my worship today, would you accept these words from these songs? Would you accept this as my heart cry of, I want to spend this year learning how to be in the things of the Father. And it's in your name that I pray. Amen.
Thank you.
to do whatever you want to, till you want to. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to. Here is where
So to close out service this morning, we're actually going to sing that other song that we played earlier as our blessing. Something to know about this song is the title is Highlands, and then in parentheses, it's Song of Ascent. And so a Song of Ascent was a special kind of psalm for the Israelite people. And it's a psalm that they would sing to each other, and over themselves as they made a journey up to Jerusalem for a festival or to the temple, which was the presence of God for them. And so it's this song that is meant to acknowledge and remind us of God's faithfulness in the journey, as well as when we've arrived. So it's a song about God's faithfulness in the low points, as well as the high points. And so as our blessing, I want to invite you to sing that over yourself if you need it, over each other. And we're going to sing this as a blessing, as our own song of ascent as we go out from these walls. So let's sing this together.
Mountains were where you hide. Oh, how far I'd scale the valleys if you grace the other side. Oh, how long have I chased rivers from lowly seas to where they rise. Against the rush of grace descending from the source of its supply. 'Cause in the highlands and the heartache, you're neither more or less inclined. I would search and stop at nothing. You're just not that hard to find. I will praise you on the mountains. I will praise you in the mountains in my way. You're the summit where my feet are. So I'll praise you in the valleys all the same. No less God within the shadows. No less faithful when the night leads me astray. You're the heaven where my heart is. In the highlands and the heartache all the same. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, how far beneath your glory does your kindness extend the path. From where your feet rest on the sunrise to where you sweep the sinners past. And oh, how fast would you come running if just to shadow me through the night. Trace my steps through all my failures and walk me out the other. aside. For who could dare ascend that mountain, that valleyed hill called Calvary? But for the one I call Good Shepherd, who like a lamb was slain for me. I will praise you on the mountain. I will praise you when the mountain's in my way. You're the summit where my feet are. So I'll praise you in the valleys all the same. No less God within the shadows. No less faithful when the night leads me astray. You're the heaven where my heart is. In the highlands and the heartache all the same. Oh, oh, wherever you are. Wherever I walk through the valley of death, I'll sing through the shadows my song of ascent. Whatever I walk through, wherever I am, your name can move mountains. Wherever I stand, if ever I walk through the valley of death, I'll sing through the shadows my song of ascent. My song of ascent. Oh, 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 oh. My song of ascent. Oh, oh, oh. From the gravest of all valleys come the pastures we call grace. A mighty river flowing upward from a deep but empty grave. I will praise you on the mountain. I will praise you when the mountain's in my way. You're the summit where my feet are. So I'll praise you in the valleys all the same. No less God within the shadows. No less faithful when the night leads me astray. You're the heaven where my heart is. In the highlands and the heartache all the same.
That's our prayer, that's our blessing, and that's our song of ascent. So as we go out, let's be a church who is the church, but also who is in the things of our Father. So let's go be that church.